Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
There exist some pretty ridiculous pictures of our twins having walker races with me. They were just starting to pull up and take a few steps with those toy walker thingies that you push along. And I was using a for real walker because I couldn't put any weight on my knee. It all started way before this. It started during pregnancy. I was lopsided, really, really lopsided. Ezra was front and center, and Cyrus was way over here somewhere. And so the weight wasn't evenly distributed. And our bodies, man, they do all sorts of things to compensate for an uneven distribution of weight, including stretch themselves past their limits. And that's exactly what my body did. It put pressure on my knees that I couldn't handle. My mind didn't really help things. I don't have a lot of quit in me, so I pushed. I ignored pain. I kept going and going for months, well past the birth of the babies. All the way through my maternity leave. I just kept going. Even when my body was not functioning properly, I just kept pushing. Because that's what I thought I had to do. That's what moms do, right? And then one night, I couldn't stand up. I had responded to a baby who was crying. It was you, Cyrus. I had sat down in the nursery and rocked him all the way back to sleep, and then I tried to stand up to put him back in his crib, and my knee would not hold my weight. So there I was, holding a sleeping child with another sleeping child only a few feet away in his own crib, calling, "Ben!" through the monitor. "Come get me! Ben!" One of the things that being in therapy for this knee taught me was how interconnected my body was. Very few of the exercises that I was given were even really about my knee. We had to work on healing the other systems first. My back was still out of whack from the way that I'd carried those babies. I was having sciatica pain, and that impacted the way that I slept, the way that I sat, the way that I walked, which was also impacting my knee. I needed to build up strength in other parts of my leg in order to help that knee not feel so much stress. All these other systems within my body needed to be addressed in order to help me walk again, because all those systems are connected. The body couldn't function without all of those systems functioning. That's the message we heard from Ben and from the Apostle Paul last week. We need each other. We need each other. In order to be the body of Christ, we need each other in all of our diversity of gifts. We need each other. In fact, diversity is the design. We are supposed to look different from one another. We are supposed to offer up different gifts. And we are supposed to recognize our need for one another in order to be whole. The church in Corinth is in the midst of some pretty big conflicts. And so Paul is writing to them in response to both hearing from others, the rumor mill had gotten to him about the conflicts, and in response to an actual correspondence, a letter that the community had sent to him. And in this section of his letter, he's responding to what must have been questions about spiritual gifts. The church seems to have created a hierarchy of gifts, elevating some members above others and thereby devaluing the contributions of some. But there is some evidence that at the root, these issues were not simply about gifts, but instead were rooted in socioeconomic differences among the congregation. And so it's quite possible that what we have here is a group of wealthy individuals claiming that their gifts, in the case of the church in Corinth, probably it was speaking in tongues, but that their gift matters more. It's a power grab. And additionally, you have less wealthy, less educated members realize that I can't speak in tongues, and therefore they question their worth. They have become a community that has forgotten that they need each other. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. As Paul is helping them work through this conflict, he uses the image of a body as a way of talking about who they are as a community. This rhetorical trick would have been very familiar to the people. It was a very common way of talking about societies. But Paul flips it. Paul does it differently in some pretty profound ways. When other people were talking about the organization of a body, it was typically a way of keeping people in line, of putting them in their place. The message was, you have a role. It's not an honorable one, but this is the natural order of things. Don't upset that natural functioning by rebelling against your superiors. Stay in line. You're a foot. That's the opposite of Paul's message. Paul uses the image of the body to show the interdependence of all the parts. Paul uses it to point out the ways in which those parts that may be considered less honorable or less important are actually vital contributors. Paul's message calls those at the top of the social and economic ladder to value and care about the contributions of those who appear inferior. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. No one is inferior in this body. No one is inferior in this body. To illustrate his point, Paul echoes his own writing to the church in Galatia. We were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, male or female. You are all one body. And not just any body either. Paul claims that the church, the gathered body, this gathered body, is not just a community. It is the body of Christ, a tangible expression of God's love and work in the world. And because of the ways that Christ cared for, loved, and lived with those whom society often condemned as inferior, the body of Christ must also function in ways that honors, loves, and celebrates the contributions of all its members. We need each other. That's the way bodies work. That's the way they function, is for each of the parts to be needed, each of the parts to be participating. Can you imagine if your circulatory system just decided to take a few years off? Or your skeletal system checked out for a while? Bodies can't work that way. Being a part of the body automatically means participating in it. It was funny this week, as I was reading and studying this text again, I remembered that one of the problems within Paul's body illustration was that some of the body parts were telling other body parts that they weren't necessary. I remembered the part that said, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.'" But I had not remembered the earlier verses where some parts of the body were self-critical. Verse 15, "If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that doesn't actually make it any less a part of the body. Yet that self-deprecating nature can make us not participate. The idea that our gifts or our offerings or our presence aren't good enough because they are different, that can make us take ourselves out of belonging. It can make us take ourselves out of participating. It can make the body not function. Because bodies can't work that way. All the systems have to do their part. We need each other. And we all belong. And we all have to participate. There is no belonging without participation. It's part of why we do the Gifts Discernment Survey. Everyone contributing their unique set of gifts helps all of us function better. And everyone valuing the diversity of gifts also helps us all function better. When we realize that there are gifts out there that we don't have, and when we realize that there are some very real ones that we do, that discipline of looking through that list forces us to remember that truth. and to remember that we need each other in it. More than needing each other, Paul says that we belong to each other. Seeing our value, contributing that value, seeing the value of the other and the ways their contributions work toward the common good, those things help us remember that we belong to each other. Needing each other is the first step, but belonging to one another is a deeper state of community. The outcome of belonging is that we will share life with one another in real, intimate, life-giving ways. We will care for one another, rejoicing in the good and suffering together in the bad. When one part of the body hurts, Paul says, the whole body hurts. When one part has joy, the whole body celebrates. This kind of relationship is not about what we can get from each other. And it is a type of relationship that is quite rare. Most of the relationships that we have are built on something different. Most of the relationships in our lives are built on transactions. But at its best, belonging in the body of Christ means participating in mutuality. It means being whole for the common good. And for as lovely as that sounds, it is incredibly difficult to live into. That's why Paul had to write a letter to a church about it. It's why other churches found his reasoning so compelling that they kept having to return to his words until they became scripture. It is very difficult work, this belonging to one another, this valuing one another. It is difficult work being whole. The church in Corinth was struggling to do it because of disparity in socioeconomic status. The church in America, even this church in Huntington, sometimes we struggle with that same disparity. Pam invites us to challenge that disparity every time she invites us all to the community meal. Every time she invites us to not just serve, but to sit, to visit, to be served alongside brothers and sisters, to value stories and gifts around tables while we share food. Economic status is not the only barrier we face. We have privilege because of race, gender, sexual orientation, all around us. These disparities call us to greater efforts toward wholeness, greater efforts toward valuing and belonging to others within the body. Another barrier is that of time. It takes time to belong to each other, to consistently show up, to learn to know people well enough to let them into the real parts of your life, to walk into the real parts of theirs. It takes time, especially when those people are different from us. And it requires risk. The risk of being fully who we are. We may be ears, ears that want to be hands, but we have to be who we are. We have to give the gifts we've been given, not the gifts we wish we'd been given. And we have to let other people be fully who they are too, fully a hand, fully an eye. We may wish that they were an ear like us, but if they were, then we'd cease to be a body. If we are going to be a body that belongs to each other, a body that needs each other, if we are going to be the body of Christ, then we can neither self-deprecate nor can we self-elevate. We have to be who we are in order to belong to each other in our diversity. Every once in a while, my knee starts aching again. More than once, it has started hurting and feeling weak again, and it's done it at the same time when I'm having trouble with my sciatica. I start doing my exercises from physical therapy. I work on my posture. I make sure my shoes are good and that I'm not walking around in flip-flops. I tend to the pain in my body, and it gets better. But it is never done. Each time the pain comes back or the weakness comes back, I'm reminded that taking care of the whole of my body is never finished. I don't get to check it off my list and call it accomplished. It needs ongoing nurture. The systems around it need ongoing nurture. That's the way bodies work. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Wholeness within our community is never done. Belonging to one another is ongoing work. Our participation is never not needed. I have watched you be the body together. I've watched you do it this week. Seen you step into another's pain and be together. I've seen you send up shouts of joy because of the success of another. We as Stone Church do not necessarily need to hear Paul's words as a congregation in conflict. The truth is, Paul's words are a profound call to the Church of the Brethren as a denomination in conflict, but not just now, not among us in this room right now. Instead, perhaps we at Stone Church need to hear Paul's words as a reminder to do a systems check, to pay attention when our knees ache or our sciatica flares up. A reminder that we are not done. Perhaps we need to hear his words as a call to reflect on where we are giving our gifts, on who we are honoring, and on what it is that's making us whole or not whole. You belong to one another. You belong to one another. You participate together in the joys and the pains of real life, real love, real community. We belong to one another. We are the body of Christ. Amen.